Well, this morning, continuing on this track of wanting to introduce myself and to share more about myself and my family as we continue forward through this season of church transition, and also as we're walking through the Gospel of Matthew, I wanted to share with you a fun fact that many of you, if you know me, you'll probably know this about my family. But our family occasionally likes to escape and play in what is commonly referred to as the happiest place on earth. We are people who know Disneyland quite well. And as you get to know me, you will know that I know a lot about Disneyland. Now, usually when people learn that we like to go to Disneyland, I get one of two reactions, especially within the Christian church community. The first one is, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. I also like to go to Disneyland. It's a reaction of joy, and people love to connect. That's fun. We like to do it too. Or it's number two. I get the eye roll and the reaction of contempt and utter disdain for Disneyland. So, I understand the tension. Disneyland, for many, is thought of as a waste of money, filled with busy crowds, commercialism, and silly, meaningless cartoons. However, for others, it's an escape. It's an escape from the harsh realities of this world. A safe place to let go of your worries, grab a cup of coffee, see a few shows, listen to some music, enjoy the company of your friends or your family. But there's another group, and I think that I personally belong to this other group. This other group is a group that understands that the influence that Disney has had on family culture over the years is quite significant. This group understands the historical significance of the park, the creativity, the innovation, the engineering, and the unmatched customer service standards. I was in Christian camp ministry for 10 years, and when we went to do 3CA conferences and we would meet with other camps and we would have experts in their field come, Disney was always referred to as a place that just has very high standards of caring for other people. So in the Christian camp hospitality type industry where we share the gospel and love on people, they were a standard that was commonly talked about. The last time me and my family went to Disneyland, we met up with CJ and Derek, who were there, and also another friend. And my other friend was a former academic dean of Cal Baptist University and holds a PhD in New Testament history. And he developed the first History of Disneyland course at a Christian university. He also wrote several books that chronicles the history of the so-called happiest place on earth, and I have a copy of it right here, one of them. And in his book, he recounts a pretty spectacular kind of historical moment to think about. He explains that in September 1959, the Soviet premier Khrushchev visited the United States on a diplomatic visit. During this tour, he expressed a desire to go to Disneyland while he was in Los Angeles. However, the United States said, sorry, you can't go because we couldn't guarantee your safety in a public amusement park. He was deeply saddened by this because he really wanted to go to Disneyland in 1959. This incident became a somewhat iconic moment in Cold War cultural history, highlighting both the political tensions of the era and the symbolic weight of the American cultural landmarks, which Disneyland is one of the American cultural landmarks. It's a part of our history. There is so much that has come from Walt Disney and Disneyland over the years. And this shows that even some foreign nations have had a desire to experience the quote-unquote happiest place on earth since its opening July 17th, 1955, and it then has spread to other countries. There's Disneyland in California, which in California, we have the original. There's also Tokyo Disneyland, which is set up against a mountain forest. It looks truly like a fairy tale. There's Disneyland Paris. There's Disneyland in Hong Kong. And there is Shanghai Disneyland. And recently announced, there's going to be Disney Dubai, which the whole idea is that it will be a floating park over the ocean. And Dubai has the money to do that. Lastly, Walt Disney World, the Magic Kingdom in Florida. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I had never been there until last year, actually, where this picture was taken. And I had heard, oh, it's big, it's grand, but there's something different about actually being there and seeing how grand it is. I remember we came off the tram, and I stepped off the tram, and I looked off in the distance, and it wasn't like our park here. It was not surrounded by hotels, freeways. It didn't smell funny. It was a vast landscape, just a horizon of you can't even see what's beyond the park. In the middle, there's this castle far out in the distance. I felt like I entered into Narnia for real. It truly, they built it to be kingdom-like. And the historical, if you go into the history and you look at how they acquired the land for that, it is an incredible story about how they actually got all of the land because they had to do it through shell companies in order to disguise who was buying up all the land in Florida to create the, quote-unquote, the Magic Kingdom. Here's my point. Humans are looking to build a perfect earthly kingdom, the place where all things are right and good, filled with joy, peace, love. However, they're looking in all the wrong places. The true kingdom is ruled by a king and not a mouse. It isn't about buildings. It's not about rides or good food. It's a spiritual kingdom, one that must grow from the inside out. Romans 14:17 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's why today I've titled my sermon, sorry, I was going to throw the picture up, "The Kingdom Grows." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, you are the King, the true King of the universe. You can do all things. We thank you, Lord, for what you have given to us. We thank you for this church, this community that is filled with love and peace, and it feels so much like a family here. Pray as time goes on, we will do nothing but grow in the right way and become a people that represent your kingdom. In your name, Jesus, amen. Now, we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, and as we're working through Matthew, we're on chapter 13, and we're exploring the parables. Now, our section for today is relatively short. We're only going to cover 3 verses, but it's okay because I have about 12 pages of notes. Are you good with that? And we're going to answer these 3 questions. 3 questions are, where is the kingdom? What is the kingdom like? And what does the kingdom do? So let's go ahead and start today with answering that first question. What is, or where is the kingdom? If I were to ask you, where's the kingdom of God? If I was to ask a child, they'd probably point up to the sky and say, it's in the sky. The kingdom of God is up there. But is this what Jesus taught? Did Jesus point up to the sky and say, the kingdom of God is right there? Or is this what the biblical authors would have understood about the location of God's kingdom? In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says that we are to seek the kingdom first. In John 18:36, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. You don't see the kingdom with your eyes. So if it's a kingdom, but it's not one that we can see with our eyes, how do we seek after it? How do we find this kingdom? This is where the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul prays to believers, or he asks the believers, or tells the believers that he's praying for them, that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened, so that they may know the riches and the hope and the glory that is in God. Simply put, the kingdom of God is found wherever the word of God governs the hearts and minds of the people and their community. If you want to know the location of the kingdom, it's where the word manifests through his people. That's where the kingdom of God is at. The kingdom of God is where the word dwells. That means that you're not going to find it in a building. You're not going to find the kingdom of God in a building or in a strong structure or in a concert hall. You find it in a relationship with God's people. This is why modern church communities have started to change the names of their churches, or they kind of changed language and terminology. For a long time, you know, church culture has been, where are you going to come and worship together? Well, we're going to go to the church building. That's what we have called it for years. The church, it's a classic-looking church. We love that it looks like a classic church. But if you pay attention to the way that many modern churches are speaking, they've stopped calling the building a church. They have replaced it with the word campus. We are going to the campus. And that's very intentional. And it's intentional to remind the congregants that the building is not the church. There's no aesthetic, there's no look, there's no structural form that a building needs to have that is the way that it's supposed to be. The people are the place where the kingdom of God is at. The kingdom, the true church of God, is with the people of God, in relationship with people, not with the building. So, where is the kingdom? It's within the relationship of God's people, where the word rules and reigns over the hearts and minds and governs actions and attitudes and judges the thoughts of their heart. That is where the kingdom of God is at. So, our next question. Jesus said, kingdom is not of this world. So what is the kingdom like? Now we'll get into our text, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. And it says this, as Jesus is teaching parables, he said, he put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, and this phrase precedes a lot of Jesus's teachings of the parables, because he's using story to communicate the nature of what God's kingdom is like. Now, remember, the Jewish community at the time, they were thinking that Jesus is the Messiah, and they're thinking he's going to come and he's going to rule and reign, and he's going to destroy the Roman Empire. And he's going to come in and conquer everybody. They were looking for a military leader. And Jesus was reminding them, that's not what this is about. That's not what God's kingdom is about. So he's telling them stories to say, you have to understand what God's kingdom is like. Man's kingdom is about power, strength, structure, and rule. This is what we see happening today if you've been watching the news in the Middle East and around the world. Grand armies, powerful weapons, technological advances, and hearts and minds that are aimed at destroying each other so they can win land. That's the kingdom of man. That's what man is involved in. Man is involved in a physical turf war. That is not what Jesus is about. This is man advancing his own kingdom. The power of God is not to be found in such things. Now, I have been watching the news, and I've been pretty impressed with what we can do now. I don't know how many of you have been paying attention to what's going on in the Middle East. Yeah, a lot should raise some concerns. What I'm most impressed with is how fast we get information now. By last night, we launched an attack on Iran, and about 12 hours later, I watched an 11-minute video that was put out by a news source, and it was a full diagram. With moving airplanes and showing how the military leaders use strategy to take out missile silos and bases and technology. And it seemed like an attack happened, and about 12 hours later, I had a full explanation of how it all went down. That would never have happened in history. I was very impressed. I was very, very impressed at the technological advances and what they used and what they did and everything that was involved from multiple nations. But as much as what I am impressed with that, as I am impressed with that, I have to remind myself that though I live in a nation that aims to protect its citizens, is that my hope does not come in the military might of the nation. Psalm 20, verse 7 says this, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." As impressed as what we can be with how protected we are as a nation, and whatever golden dome may eventually be built with our nation, or robotic advances that we have, and hundreds of drones that can protect us, those have no power in the spiritual realm. Those have no power in the spiritual realm. So what is God's kingdom like? Well, it's like its king, Christ. God's kingdom is not about territory. God's kingdom is about compassion. God's kingdom is about forgiveness. God's kingdom is about comfort. God's kingdom is kind. It is filled with his wisdom. It is filled with his joy. It's patient, restorative, innocent, and truthful. That is God's kingdom. God's kingdom transcends, has the ability to transcend everything here on earth. It is not a kingdom that is about external social performance. It's about an internal beauty of what's going on in the heart. It's like when people show up at a church to dig it out after a snowstorm. That's like God's kingdom. People giving of their time, hurting their backs, and laughing with each other as we throw salt around. It's when they sign up to teach other people's children Sunday school programs and say, "I'll volunteer for that. And not only am I going to volunteer like what Kara's doing in the back room this morning, I'm going to make sure that I put extra effort into making sure that the crafts are just right and the kids know the word of God well." Or God's kingdom is like when our youth leaders come together weekly and they plan games and lesson plans for students and say, "We're going to be here to create a place of warmth and comfort," which, by the way, our youth group was packed this last week with CJ and Derek. It was filled with kids, building relationship, community, being guided by the word of God because the word of God was reigning in the back room. It's a community of women who pray for one another, or men who gather for breakfast to encourage one another to press on with this spiritual fight. When we see that these types of activities are done within a community and they're done by the Spirit of Christ, the kingdom of God is present. Amen? Amen. This is why one of the church values that we have is the sweet spirit of the Lord. I got to present some of these values a number of months back, but I want to read this to you again. And this came because our dear friend and elder Jim Underwood said this a couple times, and he said, "What I love about Twin Peaks Community Church is that it's God's sweet spirit." And so we wrote it in as a value, and it says this as a church: "We walk by the Spirit. No program, event, or church matter should ever permit us to step outside the sweetness of God's Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means to know that the how of what we do is just as important as what we accomplish. It's not about what we do. It's who we are as a people to one another that we really see the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is like. It's fellowship, it's community, it's love, it's forgiveness, it's restoration. It's when we come together and we cry on each other's shoulders and we celebrate and we rejoice with each other when there's grand accomplishments. It's a birthday sandwich when I turn 40 years old, not a birthday cake. It's the kingdom of God. It's laughter, it's joy, it's connection." So, what does the kingdom of God do? As we continue on in these verses, we read this. "It is the smallest of all mustard seeds," or the smallest of all seeds, because in our previous verse, it talked about how the kingdom of God is like a small seed, a mustard seed. "But when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches." In this little parable right here, Jesus is referring to the Old Testament. He's referring to the prophet Ezekiel. And the prophet talked about the kingdom of God. This is where the prophetic imagery of a tree that brings shelter and sustenance for all creatures. Now, when we think about a tree, I think that tree symbolism is very important. The mustard seeds growing into a tree. Here on the left-hand side, we have the, on my left-hand side, and your left-hand side, we have the Celtic tree. It's a tree of life, tree symbolism. There's a Bible version out there called the Tree of Life Bible version. It goes back to some of the Hebrew foundational language. And so we have to understand the tree of life. The Bible is filled with trees and trees becoming places of shelter and comfort. And good things come from trees. Fruit comes from trees. On the right-hand side, we see the tree of life. Can anybody guess where that one on the right-hand side is at? That's also called the tree of life. Disney Animal Kingdom. They have their own tree of life. Now, ironically, the one on the right is artificial. It's an artificial tree of life, and it lights up at night, and everybody says, ooh, ah, look at this tree of life. And it's a bunch of concrete that's hit with lights. That's all it is. It's just like Mickey Mouse. It's just pretend. It's not real. It's not real. But Jesus is saying that this tree grows and it provides shelter for all the creatures to come and nest. And it conveys the thought that that which is small and planted, when it grows and is nurtured, it grows into something that is strong. Whoever thought that a little Sunday school with a few benches donated in the early 1900s from a local logging camp would become this little church building that we have today? If you read the history of our church, it just started with a few log benches outside. They'd bring in the piano and a little pew. There's no roads outside, and just a group of kids would sit here and they'd worship God Sunday mornings, and it was a little summer camp. Strawberry Flats Sunday School is what it was called. In the early 1900s, over 100 years ago, our church building has stood through quite a number of storms over the years, if you think about it. There's probably been a good amount of drama, as is alluded to in our church history, but also we've stood during some pretty significant times. If you go back to the early 1900s and you think, you know, World War I, you think World War II, you think the development of the atomic bomb, you think of the Cold War, you think of sending your sons and daughters and kids off to war and coming back. This church building and structure and the people of God have been here. This place has been a place that has grown, maybe not in large numbers, but for me, as I looked at Twin Peaks Community Church, I recognized that there's a sweet spirit that exists within this church. There's a fruitfulness to this church. Again, no church is perfect, and it hasn't always been perfect, but it's always been dedicated to teaching the Word of God. And this is what I like about the idea of God's Word being like a little seed that's planted and then it grows. One of my favorite quotes, I once made a coffee table with oak leaves on it that said the mighty oak was once a little nut that stood its ground, right? Standing strong on what is right and true regardless of what culture says. Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord, and even if the world thinks you're a little nutty because you talk about Jesus all the time, keep doing it. As Jesus continues on, he says this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Not a long parable, just kind of continues on the theme from the one prior. And it's saying that the kingdom of God grows and the kingdom of God spreads. It's just what the kingdom of God does. The kingdom of his love, the kingdom of his compassion, the kingdom of his truth. It grows and then it spreads because that is what God has designed the kingdom to do. The kingdom of God grows and spreads through the spreading of the seed of the gospel, and the watering and the nurturing of the plants. So, as we talk about the kingdom of God and Jesus' parable, what is the kingdom of God is like? These are the questions we have to ponder. Is the kingdom of God growing in your heart? Ask yourself the question. And we asked some questions last week. We had some surveys on the back table, which, by the way, if you have some, bring them to me if you grab some. But do you know the gospel? Do you know the gospel? The gospel is a seed that needs to be planted in your heart. How deeply have you dove into the gospel message and how it applies to your life? Do you know the full message of the gospel? Have you been raised in Christ? Have you been nurtured over the years in the sweet, sweet word of Christ and his spirit? Or have you been maybe raised in a church building? And there's a big difference. You can grow and you can learn as you are raised in Christ, or you can grow and learn in church tradition. And you have to be careful and you have to know how to separate between the two. Many church traditions are very important, but sometimes they can pull us away from the sweet, pure message of Christ. Is the kingdom growing in your home? Is your home centered around the person of Jesus, who is the living word? Is it a sanctuary for yourself and for your family of life? Now, years ago, I was a little cynical at the kind of pop Christianity, and I would make fun of the Hobby Lobby signs, and they're the signs that you would go, and you know, they cost you $100, but surprise, there's a 75% discount, and they only cost $25 now, and there'd be a Bible verse, and people would put the Bible verses up, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, there's all of this materialism, all of this consumerism, look at all of this stuff. But as I have grown in my heart over the years, I've grown to cherish that. I've grown to cherish words that are on people's walls, things they write down. When people display things that want to be reminders, you know, give themselves reminders of the Word of God. I'll give you an example. We went over to the Newman's house, and as we're walking around the Newman's house, I'm just taking a look around, and Katie has a little chalkboard there that has, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16, for the word of God, you know, all scripture is God-breathed and it's good for correction and teaching and all to the point of right living. Little words like that, just to give ourselves reminders of this is what we're about, you know. And when I look around the church here and I see that that Jill Odie this morning, where is Jill? I don't see Jill. Jill bought us a little sign for our office that's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. She got us a sign to put up in the office as a daily reminder of this is what this place is supposed to be, a place that flows with God's word everywhere, that we always need to be thinking about God's word and putting it into our mind. Those are so important to remind yourself of which kingdom you belong to. It's awesome. You belong to the kingdom that the Bible says that you have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That the love of Jesus is the location of the kingdom of God. And that's who we are to be as people. Kingdom people. People that communicate the love of Jesus. The last question is the kingdom growing in our community? Yes, it is. The kingdom is growing in many ways in our community. It does when we care for the needs of our community. When we use what God has given us for the blessing of those around us. Let me tell you a quick story. This week, my alternator on my truck went out. And so I had to replace it, and I did. Because I have a Tacoma, and a Tacoma is easy to place the alternator on, which was pretty awesome. But as I was driving my truck from the church down to my house, the battery died. And so the battery died, and I had to pull the truck onto the side of the road. I was like, I need some help. So who am I going to call? I had a coffee meeting, so I called up my friend, and he's a pastor at another church. And as a friend, he's a pastor at another church over at Sandals. I said, hey, will you come help me out? And he said, sure. So he pulled up his Jeep next to my truck, and we charged truck. We were able to get it home, but he spent the next hour and a half, and we just chatted about the Lord, and we talked about the good things of life as we tried to get my truck jump-started, right? It's kingdom work. Two pastors helping each other out from different churches. It's the kingdom of God. It's spreading. We also talked about that, about the joy and the love that's growing within our community and our families up here, our church families, our Jesus families. It grows when we use what God has given us for the blessing of other people. When we break down the walls of our, you know, the things that divide us from each other, and we say we are centered on the person of Jesus and we want to share his light with each other. So, if you want to experience the kingdom, and you want the kingdom to grow in your life, and you want to really understand what Jesus is talking about in these very three simple verses and these very short two parables, because we know that the kingdom of God, it grows like a tree, and it provides a safe haven for everybody, and it's meant to spread. So, be bold in your faith. And simply share the good news of Christ, the truth of his word, because it is a message of life, because that's what the tree represented. It's a place of life in which people can come and find shelter. My final point to challenge us with is this. When we think about the kingdom of God, and say you're a child and you're being shown a child's Bible, and you flip to the very last page, what it's going to look like is something that kind of looks like Disneyland up in the sky with a little rainbow around it. It's going to have some kind of castle there and say, one day we're going to be with God in his kingdom, which is absolutely true. We will be with God in his kingdom in the fullness of knowing who he is. However, Christ is king of the kingdom of heaven, but he's also king of Twin Peaks Community Church now. The kingdom is now as well. Are you just waiting to enter into the kingdom of God? I can't wait to be with Christ one day. I can't wait to go to heaven. I wish Jesus would just come back today, is what we would say. I wish he would just be here, would just rule over us today. And if you open up the Bible and you were to challenge yourself with that, you would have to walk away with the conclusion of, he is. He's here. It's up to you to submit to the word, though. It's up to you to step into that today. You want to have a place of peace and joy and love and fellowship and community. We have that within our church because Christ is king and Christ is center of Twin Peaks Community Church. So, it's not about one day I will be in the kingdom. One day I will experience the kingdom. Yes, you will know it in its fullness, but today is the day in which we have to step into the kingdom, be in the kingdom, remind ourselves of whose kingdom we are in, fill our minds with the word, and allow that word to flow out from us as we impact those around us. And as the Bible will call it, it's the kingdom of light. It's that simple. We fight a spiritual battle. It's the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. Let's be the people as a community, as a church, that models our king. We serve one another. We're humble. We're kind. We're wise. We're patient. We take the business of God's kingdom very seriously in the fullness of what it's supposed to be, which means we take the joy of the Lord seriously. We take the love of the Lord seriously. We take the wisdom that God gives us seriously, and we don't exchange it for the messages of this world. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, you are so good. You are truly the King of the universe. It is your Son who rules in our hearts. May we be a people that understand what it means to be a part of your kingdom today. Not just looking forward to the future and just being with you one day, but being present with you every single moment of today. Help us be kingdom people that spread your kingdom, Lord, that your kingdom may grow deep within us, that we're connected to you and filled, Lord, with the light of your Spirit. In Jesus, your powerful and holy and almighty name, we say amen.